Hello, this is Pastor Jay, and this is your word of wisdom for the day. I have a question for you. For you ministers, pastors, apostles, all you people that carry titles. Do you love God's people above your own personal problems? Let me put it this way. Do you love God's people enough to carry a burden for the people that they may be saved above your personal comfort? You think about it. This is Pastor Jay. Like, subscribe, and share, and I'll see you on the other side. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church, amen. Let's get a Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us
rejoice and be glad in it.
Praise God. Yes. Amen. We thank you for listening around the world. We're going to have scripture and prayer from Sister Jackie. And Kay, can you give us an exhortation today? Sir. All right. Come on, Sister Jackie.
Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
The scripture today is coming from 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. All right. And it says, rejoice always.
Yes.
Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is one of those commands that, while simple, can feel daunting and even impossible at times. How do we feel gratitude when life isn't fair, when pain tries to push out our joy, and when doubt clouds our vision? The beauty of this command isn't about the absence of difficulty, but rather a response to it. When we express gratitude in all circumstances, it isn't denial of challenge, it's a bold declaration of faith. It's choosing to recognize God's presence and power even during tough situations, not despite them. We don't have to be thankful for our circumstances, but we can always choose to be thankful while we are in it. Recall God's faithfulness, speak of his goodness, declare his character, and find strength in his promise when ours falter. Gratitude shifts our focus. So one more time, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Commit these commands to memory. Recall them when you are happy, when you are sad, when you are unsure, when you are angry, and even in every season, in every moment. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the presence and power that is working in our lives.
Yes.
We are overwhelmed by your faithfulness. Thank you that even when we are faced with uncertainties, you remain the same. Yes.
Come on.
Help our life to overflow with your thankfulness.
Yes.
And Lord, we're just so grateful for your faithfulness, yes. Father. We thank you that your promise was said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And that meant everything, Father. You are so faithful. And we just give you praise, glory, yes. and honor
yes.
for being who you are, Lord. You are just we're just so thankful for you that no matter what circumstances we go through, Lord, you hold our hand and you take us through, Father. We know that we have the victory because you died upon the cross for us, Lord. And we know that we fight for from victory, not for victory.
Yes. Come on,
victory
amen.
Was born on the cross, Lord. And we're looking to the cross. We're bringing everything to you, Father, because that's what you said to do. Lay it at your feet, no matter what it is, Lord. And you are faithful and just, Lord. You hear our prayer, Lord, because we believe. We believe that you are God. We believe that Jesus is your son. We believe that you raised him from the dead. Lord, we know that he is coming back, Father. So we know and what we believe, Lord. We are bringing everything to you because that's what we're going to do. And we're going to rest in the comfort of knowing that you are going to take care of us, Father, because that's what your word says, and your word will not return to us void, Lord. Yes. We love you, Lord, because of who you are. Not the things that you do for us, but because of who you are, because you are just God. And you loved us first, Father. We are so thankful that you chose us to be here at this moment, at this time in life, to come together and give you praise, Father. We pray for our pastor, Lord. He has a lot on him, Father. We pray for him. We ask that you strengthen him. Hold his arms up, Lord. Hold up his wings, Father. Keep him going, Lord. Keep him straight. Let only those be around him who want to hold him, but let him know that he is loved. For what he does, Lord, and we love him, and we are so thankful that you have put us under his care the way that he teaches us, Lord. He teaches us the truth, Father, and we love him for that. Keep him, Father, in your care, and his wife, Lord. Let them be a strength to each other, Lord. Let them strengthen each other and hold each other up, Father. But this is your will that we learn so much about you, Father, because you love us. And you don't want to leave any of us behind, Lord.
Come on.
You just don't want to do it, Lord. And praying for this generation of new kids coming up, Lord God. This generation seems like the devil and Satan just wants to take this generation and just take them and tell their souls. But, Lord, we are asking you, because you have the victory, Lord, we are asking you that you take their hands, take Satan's hands off of these young people out here, Father God. It's so much going on to distract them, Father. But you have the victory over these kids and over whatever Satan is bringing to them, Father. Satan has he can't do anything over you, Lord. We know that. We know that you have the victory, Father. We're just so thankful. We're going to rely on you, and we're going to just pray. And we're going to pray without ceasing for everything that comes on in life. And we just thank you, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know what? I got a little tune for y'all. But, you know what? God's been he moving in this place today. So, you know, all I can think of is giving him thanks.
Amen.
So this song, it's a little short song. It's repetitive. But I just want to say this because I just want to give him thanks today.
Yes.
And it goes like this, y'all. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, yes, he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, yes, he is good. For he is worthy, worthy, for he is good, yes, he is good.
See, the more you give thanks to the Lord, you don't think about what's going on through your head. See, we got to learn where to keep our focus at. And that's what I've been working on. I don't know about y'all, but you know, when you move your focus to what the Word of God is saying, it helps you. It helps you so much. And a lot of it I didn't realize till this morning. I was moving around. I was like, I ain't going. You know, you just get like that sometimes. Like I say, sometimes you just want to just throw in the towel. Well, why throw in the towel when God has brought you so far? When I think about the goodness of the Lord and where he done brought me from, y'all have no idea. Just think about where he brought you from. Just look back just a little bit. Say, oh, Lord, what did he do for you last week that you noticed that he done that was good? See, that's what I'm talking about. What he done for you today that you know he is good? See, he got me here. He got me here because I need to praise him. I need to worship him. Not that I can't do it in my house. But see, it's another thing when I'm fellowshipping with my sisters and brothers. See, I learned to give him the highest praise. See, when you can give him the highest praise, hallelujah, Lord. And thank him. Just thank him in the middle of it. What's up? In the middle of it. See, sometimes in the middle of it, you got to learn how to stand and thank the Lord for all he's doing in your life. See, you can't see everything that he's doing because you're trying to see with these natural eyes. But sometimes you got to, well, all the time. You need to dip into the Spirit, man. And let the Spirit show you what the Lord is doing. Because, see, when the Lord is on your side, He'll show you some things. When the Lord is doing something in your life, you don't understand everything that He's doing. But just remember, He knows what He's doing. We don't know what we're doing half the time, but He knows exactly what He's doing. He called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. He got something for you to do.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory, glory, y'all.
Thank you, Lord.
Just learn how to praise Him in the middle of there.
Thank you, Lord.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Nancy, let's get ready.
Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Sometimes you just got to thank God in the moment that you're in. There's plenty of things we all could complain about. There's this and there's that and there's something else, and you don't know what I'm going through. And you know, we say these things, but if you ever thought about it like this, the fact that you can say it, you're blessed. The fact that you can complain, you're blessed. Because there's some people can't complain no more. There's some people that didn't wake up this morning. And those who ain't saved don't know the joy of the Lord. They didn't walk on to the other side and they see. They in judgment right now. Wishing they could come back and complain. They want to come back and tell you what you complaining about. I'm going to hell and you ain't. You have nothing to complain about. We've been learning. And I'm taking it so much to the heart. It's all common. But I serve an extraordinary God to deal with common things.
Yes.
I serve an extraordinary God that loved me enough to send His Son to die for me.
Thank you.
I serve an extraordinary God that He pick a person like me and you to come fellowship one with the other that most of us didn't know each other 20 years ago. God knew what He was doing, and His plan is unraveling. And let me tell you something, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you think is wrong in your life, you're right on time.
Amen.
God's the kind of God that have you ever been to the airport and they told you was going to catch a plane, and they told you the plane was delayed, and you might not get to where your connection is because the plane, for some reason or other, this or that, has been delayed. But then it's something that happens while you're in there, and the pilot comes on and say, because of the headwind, because of the wind that's behind us, you still going to make it to your connection on time. See, God is the kind of God, no matter where you start, you're going to get where you're going on time.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. You'll get that when you really know God. It make no difference where you at. You're going to be right there where you need to be. You're going to always have a way of escaping. He's going to always give you a way to endure no matter what you're going through. So why do you take your liberty and spend any time complaining? You should be glorifying God in the middle of your storm. You should be glorified of God when you get that bad news. You should be glorifying God when things just seem to be not going your way. But you know God is in control.
Yes, He is.
And He's gifted you. Everyone in this room got a gift.
Amen.
And it's been given by God.
Thank you, Lord.
We're in 1 Corinthians. You're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can go there and put a pen on it right now. But we've been walking through 1 Corinthians. We skipped over 11. I'm going to come back to that. But at this point in 1 Corinthians, we get there chapter 12. From 1 through 11, we've been dealing with the carnality of every church. Every church has a carnal aspect. If you 1 Corinthians, it says that they were given, chapter 1, it tells us that this church was given every gift
that God could have in the church by the Spirit of God, but their carnality stifled the manifestations of the gift to benefit the body.
Okay.
You can hinder the Spirit because the Bible says that you could quench the Spirit. Right. It doesn't mean that the Spirit is not working. It's that your level of carnality is such that the Spirit can't move the way it would move and the gift can't be manifested because you have decided of your own free will to do what you want to do that's carnal. Their problems were sexual sin. Their problems were personal sins. Their problems, they couldn't get along. They were taking each other to court. They had a problem with the communion. And on and on and on, they had problems. And they had wrote to Paul to get clarity on these problems. Because it seemed that they were powerful, but the Spirit wasn't moving. And in a lot of times in our churches, we have some powerful people, but they don't understand the Spirit is not moving because of their sin and their carnality.
Mm. All right.
Okay. All right. Teach us.
Okay. It's not that you don't have a prayer life. It's not that you don't tithe or whatever you want to do. You know how to go through the motions of church.
All right.
But really, let's just analyze this for us, just a second in your mind. Do you think God gave you a gift for you to hold on to it and make you special?
No.
Matter of fact, I want you to do something. Everybody stand up. I want you to feel your seat. Feel it. Just touch it. No, you touch your seat. Now, y'all been sitting on it, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of warm, right?
Yeah.
Now, sit back down. Now, watch this. Do you think God gave you a gift so you could be a bench warmer?
No.
Do you really think God gave you a gift so your seat, so you keep a warm seat at church?
Well.
God gave you a gift to get off your behind and do something for somebody else but yourself. You so busy caught up in your world that you can't see God has gifted you to be a conqueror of all things that come your way. You know how to say that you are overcomer, but are you walking in the victory that God has given you?
Come on, guys.
You're gifted.
Yes.
But your gift is not for you.
Right.
Your gift is you're the conduit to which the Holy Spirit wants to bless somebody else.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Say that.
He wants you to be a blessing to somebody else. And he's already promised you, if you be a blessing to somebody else, I'll bless you. You keep asking God for the wrong thing.
There you go.
You need to pray bigger than self. You need to pray for that lost soul that's out there. And your children and your grandchildren that may be lost. And your neighbor down the street that may be lost. See, you pray for... See, have you ever thought about sometimes you pray and it ain't what God really wants you to be praying about? Because he even say we pray amiss. And what I begin to understand what this amiss is, the gifted people always praying about the gift and not the result. You want more power. You don't need no more power. You want some more anointing. You don't need no more anointing. You too busy looking at what somebody else is doing and you saying, I want some of that. But do you really want to carry the burden of what that requires?
Come on, thank you. Don't know my story.
So let's take our time. Open up the Bible, the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And again, remember, you know, everybody's gifted. Say, we're all gifted. Say it.
We're all gifted.
We're all anointed.
We're all anointed.
Okay, let's go. Read 1 through 11. Sorry.
Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is in the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
Amen.
Amen.
Paul is at the point where he wants to move beyond the carnality of the church and move into the spirituality of the church. As the church matures, and if they're maturing, there's a point where we have to get off this thing of the carnality of life. Because that's why Paul said it's all common. It's commonality of carnality is real. Whoa! I mean, it doesn't really necessarily change because you think yours is so personal. Okay? So Paul is trying to move the church into spiritual things. And he started off interesting with giftedness. Because he started off the 1 Corinthians with this statement of that they're all gifted. This church has an abundance of gifts. But a church that's abundantly gifted is the most immature church on the block. You can be gifted but immature. And that's what God is being hampered, because your immaturity, giftedness don't mean anything without the character and the maturity to be able to administer the gift. Okay? That's what you go through trials and tribulations for, to build your character so that the gift can be manifested. So today we're just going to simply talk about, you know, what is the gift for? What is the gift for? What is the gift for? And then we're going to, as we go down next week, we're going to talk about the unity of the gift. What is the gift supposed to do? We're going to touch on a little bit every time, but you got to go through the stages of what is this gift for? Where does it come from? Why does God give it to you? You got to ask yourself in your pride, God, why did you give me this gift? And you can go to this word, he'll tell you why. It was in what we just read. Okay? But we all come from somewhere that's not conducive or relevant or what I want to say, beneficial for using your gift. So Paul starts off, says, I don't want you guys, some of your versions may say ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. And that's really not a good translation, because ignorance has a negative connotation. Ignorance makes it seem like you being stupid. But really that Greek word is more agnostic, meaning you're just unaware. See, when you follow dumb idols, you can't be nothing but dumb.
Come on, man.
And you put stock in what has no power. So we should never be afraid of the inability to be powerful if we're following something that has no power. Sage does not stop devils. That has no power. Crystals look pretty, but they don't have no power.
That's right.
Okay? And so on and so forth. And we get these ideas from what they call the mystery religions. And you get the mystery religions beginning back in Genesis chapter 11, where it talked about the Tower of Babel. Think about it. What they wanted to do was build a tower up to God.
Yeah.
See, all false gods have you doing something to try to build yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to figure out how to serve them. You have to figure out how to call them into your life, and then your job is to satisfy them so they'll satisfy you.
Yeah.
The God we serve said, they can't satisfy me, so I'm going to give my son to satisfy me, and then I'm going to come down to them.
Come on.
False religions, the gods will never be on your level. But we have a God that gave his son that says he was tempted on all things like we were, but didn't sin. He says in the Hebrews, it tells us that we got a God that sympathizes with our problems and issues. Okay. He understands what you go through. He weeps for you. He intercedes for you. But these false gods have no power. And what happens is when you're trying to deal with no power, that means where there's no power, there's no gift. Mm-hmm. I'm going to prove to you the seriousness of idolatry. Because that was one of their problems. Yeah. In Corinth, you had the temple to Diana next to the church. And you have some people thinking they can dibble dabble in both, just like today. You think you can burn sage and pray to Jesus. Let me tell you something. The day you decide to trust in some sage, you probably will cancel Jesus. Because Jesus is not going to let nobody be in front of him. He's a jealous God. He's not going to let you create some pagan ritual when he's died for you on the cross. See how silly that sounds? You're going to think some smoke going to work more than some blood. If that was the case, when Jesus was tempted, what he could have done was gather all the sage in the world and lit the world on fire with sage and thwart the devil. But he said, as it is written, as it is written, as it is written.
Yes.
I get it. You'd rather light some sage because you used to lighten other things and you think that's going to help you. You think getting high and being in an alternative state of mind gets you closer to God. Let me tell you something. On the end of that being out of body experience is Satan. Waiting for you. One of the fruits of the spirit is self-control. You keep trying to escape. Who told you you need to escape from the hell you made for yourself?
Wow.
Well,
following dumb idols. Well, Pastor, you know, somebody told me. You're listening to the wrong people. You read the wrong stuff. You're spending too much time on TikTok.
Come on, man.
You ain't looking at the right things on YouTube. It's feeding you some foolishness. Y'all should hear y'all can't even imagine the conversations people have with me. But what I'm trying to point out is following dumb idols. Okay, you say, well, Pastor, prove it. Go to Habakkuk. I got it now, y'all.
Yeah.
I got it now. Habakkuk 2:18-19. Let's see what the Bible says about the dumbness of following idols. What did it say?
What profit is an idol when its maker has shaped it?
What profit does an idol when you done made it into a shape with some silly putty in your hands? Go ahead.
A metal image.
Mm-hmm.
A teacher of lies.
Uh-huh.
For its maker trusts in his own creation when he makes speechless idols.
Uh-huh.
Woe to him who says to a wooden thing, awake, to a silent stone, arise. Can this teach? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath in it at all.
So there's nothing in the idol. You're trusting in something that has no breath in it at all. That means it has no spirit in it. It has no power. And when Paul says, you guys used to follow these idols, you used to follow Diana, you used to follow Moloch, and now you're in the church, you made a profession of faith, but your profession hasn't raised to a confession of sinning. See, you can't attach yourself to God and attach yourself to the devil too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Dumb idols made by your hands and your man. Think about this. Made by his hands is made by his imagination. That's why the Bible says we're supposed to break all down every stronghold. And those who have this imagination. A lot of y'all are dealing with Jesus with y'all imagination and not with the word of God. Let me make up a Jesus that makes me look good. Let me make up a Jesus that agrees with me to tell me sin is not sin.
Come on, baby.
Let me make a Jesus that love me and don't never correct me.
Mm-hmm.
I give anybody $1,000 and you find me there where the gospel say you're supposed to tell people that you love them. That ain't what I saw. When them 5,000 joined the church when Peter finished preaching, he told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. You go, every one of you, The problem is you don't want to repent. You'd rather follow a dumb idol that you done made by your hands and your imagination. And you sit there talking to the idol. Well, you know, they told me to get 7 pennies and stand at the crossroads of the street and pour out some liquor. And all my problems going to be solved. The only one problem, even if it did work, you still going to hell because you a sinner. See, the problem with the church is you're looking for what works instead of looking for Jesus. And the devil knows I can just make it work for you and now I got you. See, you're looking for what works. I'm looking for what's holy and righteous. So dumb out of you make it by hand. It don't profit you none. Well, you say, Pastor, that's just one scripture. Okay, let's go to Psalms chapter 115, verse 5.
Psalm 115.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 115, verse 5. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat.
Oh, wow.
Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them.
Dumb. Those who make them become like them. In the margin, it should say dumb. Because that's what you become. You're following something that can't talk to you. And if it is talking to you, you talk to yourself or demons talking to you. If you think that a statue that you done made by your hands or somebody gave you was talking to you, you need to check in. You need to check in. God trying to, he gave you where he want to talk to you, Ed, in his word. But you don't want to read his word because his word going to cut you. But let me ask you something. Those of us who have surgery, don't they always tell you, you know, this might hurt a little bit. When you go to the dentist, he say, this going to hurt a little bit. Here I go. I'm getting ready to stick you. But you withstand, you endure the sticking because you know once the operation is done, you still gonna have some pain, but eventually that pain is gonna subside. It's the same thing with the word of God. It's supposed to cut you before it cures you.
All right.
You looking for a way out to so you can continue in sin. You look at hyper grace. And Paul said, he warned you. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? He said, God forbid, because we're dead to sin. Sin has no more dominion over us. And if sin has no more dominion over us and we don't follow dumb idols, then what we do is we have to look for who we need to follow, and it's Jesus Christ. And all those who call upon Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins and believe that he was rose again and he died, you are saved. And not because you saved, you automatically get a gift.
Amen. Come on. Thank you.
Think about it. He did the dying and you get the gift.
Wow.
But you want the gift for yourself. And some of y'all think what I do is so much more important than what God has given you to do. So you sit there and do nothing.
Well,
y'all like them warm seats. I've got my warm seat for the day. Ain't my seat warm? Yeah. And it's natural. Because, see, you're looking at why can't I do what this person do? Why? God has given you something to do. And if you don't know what you need to do, you need to ask God, what is my gift? And if he tells you your gift and it's really not manifesting anything, then it's your problem because you have something that's blocking it, which is sin. You want to carry the gift and still continue to sin. Matter of fact, you want to use your gift because gifts are not given out of repentance. You can use your gift to sin.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay.
Hold on. God gives gifts to sinners.
Yes.
You saved, but think about this. You can use that power in a way that does not glorify God. You see it every day. Men and women that are gifted, you can see the Corinthian church was gifted, but they were not manifesting the Spirit of God because they were holding on to their carnality. They were not walking into the light as he is in the light. They wasn't trusted in the forgiveness that was given them. Then you're told by some preacher, you need to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. Where do you see that in scripture?
Nowhere.
You ain't got no problem forgiving yourself. You've been forgiving yourself all this time. That's why you stay in sin.
Well,
you play that game. It sounds real good. You know my biggest problem, I need to forgive myself. Boy, I've been sinning a long time, Pastor. I've been forgiving myself. I needed God to forgive me.
Right.
And he said he is faithful if I confess my sins. He is faithful. That means he is not moved by when I tell him that I'm in trouble sinning. He's faithful to forgive me. He's faithful to forgive you. And your issue is you're scared to be accountable to the forgiveness that God gives you. So you don't walk in the light, you walk in the dark, because men prefer darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's what the Bible says. So think about this, saints. If the sun, when you the sun is at your back, the shadow's in front of you. And you're walking into the shadow. Not the reality of who God wants you, but God is behind you. Too many of you guys are walking and God is behind you and not in front of you. Because when God is in front of you, if the sun is in front of you, the darkness is behind you. See, you'll get that. Spiritual people get that, because when I walk into the light as he is in the light, that means all the darkness is behind me.
Yes.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I just thank God, because see, that's one of the gifts. The gifts is you have a discernment of spirits, and one of the discernments of spirits. And even though you might have your particular gift, but guess what? You're supposed to have them all. You know why? Because the body may need the gift at any time.
That's right.
So what happens when I share my gift with you? You might not be able to preach, but guess what? You might be in this position where some people need a word of God from you, and what you do is take the gift I gave you and give it away to somebody else. I may need a kindness gift. I sit here amongst the saints, and that's why I come to church. Purdy, you got something you need to give me. You got something you need to give me. You got something you need to give me. And it's different from what the gift that I have. But what it does is make me a well-rounded person. So when I walk out here and they need a happy person, I can give them something what Nancy gave me.
Yes.
When they need an exalter, I can give them something what Karen gave me.
Yes.
When they need some help, I can give them something what Deacon Marvin showed me. See, when we are gifted and working together, there's nothing that we can't accomplish. So, again, I'm getting it from you.
Yes.
Some of y'all are great. Y'all, some of y'all pray. Jackie can pray. Ooh, yeah, Jackie can pray. That's a gift that she got. So when I listen to Jackie and somebody needs some prayer, I might say some things Jackie done said to uplift me, and that's good enough to uplift him.
Come on.
All right.
Sister Carol is encouraged. I go around this room and tell you how you've helped me. Because the gift is meant to be shared. The gift is not meant to be hoarded. And the gift is not to be worn with arrogance. The gift is not meant to be handled with arrogance and pride. It's supposed to be given out with a dose of humility. Because you understand the source of the gift. The source of the gift is Jesus. The source of the gift is Jesus. It's not you. You ain't developed the gift. The gift is being developed in you. And you not your gift. Think about it like this.
Yes, Lord.
Get a straw and you put it in a cup and you drink out the straw. And there's only so much you can get because the straw is so narrow.
Wow.
Okay.
God is trying to open up the straw so you can get more of your gift out. And the only way he can open you up even more is to put you through tests.
Thank you, Lord.
They're common, but when you pass the test, you expand the diameter of what God can work with.
Amen.
Meaning that you go from a straw to a 3/4 inch round circle. That means people can get more of it because you got more of it to give, and the volume of it keeps coming out of you because it's been tested by time. It's just not a straw no more. It's a standard PVC pipe that is stronger than it was. Y'all got to hear what I'm saying. See, the issue with your gift is you still drinking out of sippy cup with it. God wants you to get that stuff out like a faucet. Fully turned on.
Yes.
Give it away freely. Nonstop. That's it.
God wants you to walk in your gift so much that people will say, what must I do to be saved?
Come on.
Amen.
That's the only point for your gift. Is to edify the body and to glorify God.
Yes.
That's all. It's to get people to come to Christ. It's to get people to come to Christ. And he's not going to ever give you a bad gift. You don't need to go there. Matthew 7:11 tells you, you don't need to go there. Matthew 7:11 tells us that he's going to give you a good gift. He gave the parameters. He said, even a bad father gives gifts. But how much more will your good father give you the gift? And then some versions say the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when you get the gift of the Holy Spirit, once you get saved, then the Holy Spirit dispenses gifts to the body of Christ through the people of Christ so that they can all grow up and mature into one body.
Yeah.
So the gifts are varied, but the gifts have one purpose. Grow us up, glorify God. Grow us up, glorify God. That's it. You try to do everything else with your gift. And yeah, you can use it to manipulate people, but why you want to manipulate people to you and you can get you the gift to bring people to Christ?
That's right.
Only reason I'm here is to bring you to Christ, to teach you about Christ. Everything else is useless. I don't have no superpower.
That's right, Pastor.
All I have is a gift that needs to be administered.
Amen. Thank you.
Through humility.
Thank you.
You don't deserve your gift. If Jesus, let me ask y'all something. If Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, coming back to dwell within you, and the Holy Spirit's dispensing the gift to you, then it's the Holy Spirit's job to grow the gift in you. It amazes me how quickly you go back to dumb idols. Why would you take a test to see where you're gifted? My gift is by the Spirit. I'm going to take a test to tell me I'm a for 1 through 20. I'm going to see if I'm gifted in this. And if I fall short, I feel bad. So you're going to take an SAT for your gift. And you're going to take the whatever they say as Bible. Whatever you are, short in your gift, God will take you, test you, beat you up, whoop you until you get in line with the character that he wants you to carry your gift. Taking a test ain't going to do you no good. Because you can cheat on the test. I got to answer 20 questions. He's going to tell me what my gift is. The devil is a lie.
Come on.
Something made by man to get you to pay $10 for a test. To tell you what God gave you. Come on, y'all. Dumb idols. Stuff made by man to tell you about God. And they might have good intentions, but this is what I'm telling you. You walk with God long enough, you submit to God hard enough, you love God's people like you're supposed to, your gift will be evident.
Yes.
When you learn how to submit and sacrifice one to another, not think more of yourself than you should, consider others more significant than yourself, you won't grow your gift. Because if your gift is meant to grow the body, when you submit to the body, it has to grow. Because the body has to feed off of what God has given you.
Hey, come on.
Y'all got to start feeding on Jesus and the principles of God.
Yes.
And your gift will grow. Going to school don't grow your gift.
Well.
Oh, well. Well, you say, well, Pastor, you went to school. That didn't do nothing for my gift. That did stuff to y'all, for those who are ignorant and unknowing that I don't need to be Dr. Sutton because I'm preaching the same thing I preached when I wasn't Dr. Sutton.
Come on.
But that was done for y'all, for those who are ignorant. You need to be a doctor to talk to us. Okay. Some of y'all just good test takers. That don't mean you gifted in that.
Come on now.
And it doesn't necessarily work like this. Whatever you good in secular don't mean that God needs to use that thing you secular in for the gift that he wants to give you for the body. You may be good at one thing in the streets, but then for the body of Christ, you may be good at another thing.
Yes.
I'm going to give you for instance.
Come on.
Some of y'all have great talents. And we got a whole bunch of talented folk in here. And you can use your expertise in the body of Christ. But that don't mean that that's your ultimate gift for Christ. He may have you in the streets doing X, Y, and Z, but in the body where he wants to grow the body and benefit the body, he may have you doing A, B, and C. Yeah, he can benefit from what you do out there, but there's sometimes God say, I want you to do this for me. Isn't that what he did with Paul? Paul was a Pharisee. He had all the right so-called religious gifts. But then when God got with him, he said, I count all of that as dung to serve Jesus. This man went from a promising career as an attorney to someone who was going to suffer for the sake of his assignment. How much are you willing to suffer so your gift can grow for the body? How much are you willing to put down of your own personal issues so the body can receive the gift that you have? Yeah, you're going to go through moments. I'm not trying to make you non-human. But the fact that you can complain, you should be happy.
That's right.
Okay, you got a problem. We come here to receive your gift. And yeah, sometimes you don't feel like it. Okay, fine. We're going to give you what we got. Sometimes we're going to boomerang and give you what you've been giving us.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're going to look at you and say, didn't you say K? Blah, 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 and yah, yah, yah. And you, and then you got to check yourself because people are listening to you.
That's right. That's right.
If you ain't walking, if you don't believe in what you're selling, what you want somebody else to do.
Come on, man.
Ephesians. Yeah, go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 and 12. Read that.
Ephesians 4 and 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry.
Stop right there. The gift of the apostles, the pastors, the teachers are to equip.
Say that.
Think about what I just said. If I'm one of those, I am an equipment carrier.
Okay.
When I played football, there was these guys, they dealt with equipment. When we traveled to different states, where I played in the Big Ten, so it was like this. When we were going somewhere on Saturday to play, Thursday was our last practice, we didn't go. And we didn't go to our locker and pack our own bags. We just got on the bus. There was somebody else that packed our bags. And then when we would get to the stadium and be in the guest room, everything that was in our locker that we needed would be hung up. And we got a brand new pair of socks every time. We got a brand new jock. We got uniform clean, helmet shined. Wow. Our shoes are there. We got a brand new pair of shoes every time.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. But these guys did something. You didn't see them do it. You don't know when they did it.
Come on. Right. Jesus.
They were equipping us to play the game. And you didn't know, you knew who they were because you see them every now and then, but they weren't the person playing the game. I'm going to say this. My job is to equip you so you can play the game.
Right on.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right,
Pastor. What you do?
Yes.
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 The gift of a pastor is for them to edify you so you can be equipped for ministry. And the only way you can be equipped for ministry is if I continue to tell you, you got a gift that's for ministry.
Yeah.
It's for somebody else. It's a bigger picture. So it's the equipping for ministry. And what else?
For building up the body of Christ.
Now I am a builder, not a builder of myself, but a builder of the body of Christ. I'm like the cement in between the bricks. The weight is on the cement, but the bricks are going higher.
Uh-huh.
And unless you put the proper amount of level cement, mortar, as they say, then the bricks will be unbalanced. We have to understand our job. If you are made in clergy, you're not special. You just got an assignment to bear the burden of building the body of Christ. Well, you say, well, Pastor, then you got that burden, I don't. No, 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 no. If I'm sharing my gift to build, then you got to have the anointing to build too.
Amen.
You build in your own little way.
Yep.
Shepherds don't get sheep. Sheep get sheep.
All right.
Y'all put Pastor need to do, Pastor. No. Your light should shine and somebody should want to follow you. Into the church house.
Come on.
Into the body of Christ.
Yes.
First.
Yeah.
I know some of y'all light ain't shining. Ain't nobody following you. You ain't bright enough for somebody to follow you. I know some of y'all act different out there. I know you do.
Oh my goodness.
You think you got past the food because I don't say nothing. I don't need to say nothing. I have to pray for you. That door hits you, by the time you get to your car, you put the mean back on. Somebody get in your way, you ready? See, you're not using the gift of love and kindness that's in this body of Christ. If you really love, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Nobody told me that this road of love would be easy. But I've come too far in this love. To turn back now.
All right.
It wasn't easy for Jesus to go to that cross, but he was gifted.
Yes, thank you.
And he said, not my will, but let thy will be done. If there's any way we can work this thing out without me going.
Yes.
Is there any way that we can work this thing out without y'all growing? No. But I have to trust God and say you're right where He wants you to be, because our job is to equip and to build, and that has an effect of what? Read
verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God.
Stop. There's three things there. Until how many?
All.
No, just me by myself.
All.
Just me and Sister Carolyn.
No.
So. Till we all obtain. Do you understand what obtain means? That means if it's done right, you're going to get something from it that's going to have a great impact on your life. Until we all obtain what?
The unity.
Oh, so this is supposed to bring us together.
Yes.
So in other words, I need to preach a message that brings all of us in line with the Holy Spirit. Make us all equal in Christ. Because we're all equal in Christ. Pastor is not better. Pastor's not above. I know y'all not used to that. My job is to serve you. I'm your equipment manager. I just told you.
Thank you.
Yes.
How can I equip you if I'm always on top? Sometimes I got to get lower than you. Sometimes I got to be equal with you. In a rarity, I should even have the exact authority that God has given me over you, because guess what? You understand that you need to submit too.
Yes.
till we all come into. That means when you're not in Christ, you're not in the unity. When you're not exercising your gifts, you might not be in the unity. Unity is about the way we are going, the way we are growing. You're supposed to be in step with us. Your everything grows in with proportion to carry you. So God has gifted you so you can be part of this body, so we can all walk in union together. Not uniformity, but unity. And unity requires everyone in this room to be humble. It requires for each one of us to decide today that we're going to reach out and consider somebody else. Somebody sitting in this congregation. Because until you do it here, you ain't doing it out there. Because my question is, how can you do it out there and not in here? So you doing it out there so you can show and brag. And this is how this works. Pastor, do you know I went and did this and this, that, and the other? I did this, that, and the other. Uh-huh. And then, you know, I don't want, you know, I won't, you know, I'm suffering for people. You telling me? Okay, I get it. And you know, I pay my tithes. Okay, you do that. I give offering. Okay, you do that. Sound like you're bragging. You sound like you're trying to convince me. My next question is, when did you have give your enemy a cup of water?
Come on.
Have you ever prayed for the saints to come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Have you ever decided, I'm going to say this, have you ever decided just to wake up a little early so you can get here on time? Because you respect the time of those who get here on time?
Yes.
See, it's the little things.
That's right.
Amen.
You trying to show me the big things. And I can see you are consistent and being uncommitted and inconsistent. Because you know you got your gift, and you know you can get here when you want to, and everybody go. But see, God is not glorified by that. You still do what you want to do. That's right in your own eyes. You so gifted that God don't notice you late.
Come on, Pastor.
So our job is to equip the saints until we all grow up into being conformed to the image of Jesus. That's what we do. We feed off each other as we feed off the Spirit, as we feed off the Word. It all works together. All things work together for what? The good for those who what? Are called according to what? So there you go. We keep hearing these words. Purpose, purpose, purpose. And it amazes me when a saint, what's my purpose? I need the Lord to tell me what my purpose is. You just read what your purpose is. To walk in unity. To grow into Jesus Christ. Anything else that's not part of that purpose is not his purpose. You let the worldly churches trick you into to questioning what your purpose is, and it's right there in Scripture. We love God, and he gives us gift according to his purpose that we exercise in the body of Christ for his purpose, for your good and his glory. What else do you want to know? Some of you are trying to operate also in areas where you're not gifted. Because somebody told you. Well, if you think that you're gifted, don't you think you're going to be challenging that gift? And if you get upset about being challenged in your gift, you're probably not gifted in that. I know I'm a minister. Because, you know, they told me. Who told you that? Some apostle, some prophet, somebody looked at me one day and said, you know what? You're supposed to be preaching. You can't put two words together. You're talking about you're supposed to be preaching. And you fail for it because it's a show gift. But don't nobody see when and I'm going to use this, Deacon Marvin and others stay over to clean this church.
That's right.
That's a gift that's needed.
Amen.
Nobody sees when certain people call pastor and say, I'm praying for you. They don't want to be known. They just know that they God has called them to pray for their pastor and
Amen.
Pray for other people. You not you don't this is the thing. Gifting is good, but again, so many people are too scared to say, you know what, maybe I'm not gifted in that. What they told me I was. Maybe I'm gifted in another area. And God's probably been showing you the area you're gifted in, but you know, that evangelist back during the day when they dunked you in oil and spit you around and threw water on you, then had a dinner for you, you can't let them down. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Can't let them down. But you need to let them down to glorify God.
Yes,
that's right.
So yeah, that's what it's for. It's for us to grow. It's for us to grow on each other, from each other, by each other, with each other. But we leave no man behind. You get so sensitive. Somebody say something to you inside the body of Christ and you ready to run. You get so sensitive. Nobody's infallible. All of us may say some things that hurt your feelings, but can't you give me some grace and can't you give each other a little bit of grace? Maybe they going through some stuff. See, that's that gift of understanding and patience and long suffering. You know what Pastor's saying? He said this, and I'm not going back no more.
Okay, you're supposed to preach us happy.
But you forget when you called of me and needed $1,000 to pay your bills.
Come on. Come on.
You forget when you needed $500 and we gave it to you and we ain't told nobody. Come on. You forget that, huh? So you ready to leave after you didn't get paid. Just because I said something that maybe you didn't understand. Maybe I'm challenging your religion that you grew up with. Because I'm kicking over your sacred cows. Your Psalms 115, 5 idols. Okay? It's all about us growing together. In unity. So if I'm truly operating, you operating your gift, it brings about a magnetism of unity. We stuck with each other, y'all. And the Bible clearly says, don't you worry about those who leave and those who, because it says if they don't endure with us, they probably was never with us no way. That's on different levels now. We're not talking about them not being saved, but you know, there's some people probably still with us. They're probably not going to endure with us to the end. Because guess what? They were here for the wrong reason. It's okay. They motive. They can't fake it no more. And they gotta go. And I get that. The dirt sermon says it's okay. I'm not counting bodies. I'm counting souls.
Amen.
All right. Yeah. Go to 1 Peter. I'm almost done. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 and 12.
1 Peter 4:11. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. So whatever your gift is, it brings about the unity of the body to glorify God. It's the same thing in 1 Peter. It's the same thing in Corinthians. It's the same thing in Ephesians. Can't y'all see it's the same thing?
All right.
It's not glamorous. It's work. Love takes work. And love means that you won't be exposed to hurt.
That's right.
But God said he's not going to put on you what you can't bear. So whatever pain you're going through, it's common to God. Because Jesus said, did you look at me and see how much pain I went through for you? So you're going to have to go through some pain with the saints. And when you start having a servant heart and a humble attitude and love others, as Christ has loved you, then what you'll do is transform yourself into conforming like Christ and thinking like Christ. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. What mind is that? Love. When we get to end of 12, he's going to say, oh, that's great, but let me teach you a more excellent way. In 13. What's the more excellent way to begin with? Love. He tells you if you don't have that component, that level of sacrifice, that level of submission, that level of caring for each other, you ain't got nothing. There's a bunch of gifted people who ain't got nothing.
Well,
because they're not glorifying God with their gift. They're glorifying themselves. God will let you use your liberty to tear yourself up. And then that person that's less gifted to you, but gifted to you in the same manner, you're wondering, well, why does it seem like they grow? It's a pool for me to, you know I'm a better speaker than them. I'm just talking about from the past. I know I'm a better preacher. Like Abel said, I can preach them happy. I can make them run around the church.
Yes.
I can make them lose their mind.
Right.
Okay. They can preach you happy and preach you right happy in the hell.
Right.
I want to get you thinking.
Yes.
Our motto is we want to get saved people thinking and thinking people saved. Y'all got to get out of that emotionalism. Now, there's a time for the emotions to flow. We experienced that today. But that don't take that don't stop from the word going forth.
Right, right.
I got to equip you for, I got to put you some on equipment.
Yeah.
I got to tighten up that helmet. Mm-hmm. I got to tighten up that breastplate. That's I got to right. tighten you up.
Yes.
I got to encourage you to stay in the thing.
Yes.
Dear sister said, you look at it on your YouTube today, it's cool, but it's nothing like being here in person.
Amen.
Amen. It is. YouTube is cool, but that's secondary.
Yes. Yes.
You need to come here and experience us.
Yes.
See, you can't feel the love on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You might get the message, but you won't get the love. And the message is good, I guess, but the love and the message, oh my God, that is awesome.
Yes.
The fellowship is awesome. The love for one another is awesome. Yes. So that just makes me want to say, no matter what I'm going through, this message is going to, I got to go through with God you gave me to do. Because even though I may feel sorry for myself today, guess what? They got me.
Yes.
You should know your church got you.
Yes.
That's a gift.
Yes.
I don't care what y'all they say. Can't nobody talk to me about y'all. I'm not going to just set up to get along in the moment. You want to start a fight with me? Talk about these members here. Talk about what you think they should be doing. Well, y'all don't do this? No. Y'all don't do that? No. Y'all should be. No. Well, let me ask you some questions. You've been doing what you've been doing all this time. Has it been successful? How's that been working for you? You miserable? You're unhappy? You're complaining about your church? You're talking about it bad? I can't see that being a great place to be, but you don't know nowhere else to go. And then what you will say is you don't like everything that's happening there, but then when you go someplace that's ain't happening, then you'll try to bring what you was taught there into here and say, yeah, we should be doing that. You didn't like to do that then. But it's the gift.
Yes.
The gift of love will require us to let anybody walk through that door no matter what they got going on. And our job is to love on them long enough, deep enough, and sacrificial enough that they can get this word in them so they can be equipped to walk out in this world. You should come into service expecting to hear from the word of God and receive the love of the saints. That's a gift.
Yes, Lord. Thank you so much.
And it all brings us into one union, one with another, one brick on top of another. And then when you get challenged out there in these streets and you rely on what's being taught and what you know about God for yourself, it expands the opening of your straw. So now your gift can be given out more than it could be given out yesterday because you've handled the test and you trusted God, and God has allowed you to say, now I can open you up a little bit more. You see all that stuff you had in your well, yeah, God let you see that you're gifted, but for some reason or another, you're trying to drink a bucket full of water with a straw. God said, there's a better way to do this. I can expand you, but to expand you, I got to test you. To expand you, I got to put you under fire. To expand you, I got to see your level of tolerance to get you to trust in me who gave you the gift.
Yes.
I got to expand you because the church is gifted. Church is gifted. And we can go forward in faith when we realize how important our gift is for one another.
Yes.
And we're willing to sacrifice just a little bit. Don't try to bite off more than you can chew. If you get here at 9:15, don't try to get here at 8:30. Don't do that. What about 10 to you?
Right.
Baby steps. Because you'll get frustrated.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll get frustrated. A couple of times getting here too early, you're going to be like, I ain't doing that no more. Yeah. But I guarantee you this, when 8 o'clock come, no matter who calls out there, I'm in here. So you ain't got to sit there. You come on in.
Amen.
You know. You know why? Not because I need it. It's because I love you. That's all. Just that simple little thing. I love you enough to open them doors. Because I've been in churches where mothers show up. And they got to sit in their car. And the speaker ain't there. The teacher ain't there. And here come the teacher 10 minutes till, running, dropping stuff, trying to get into the door and talking about I'm running late. And then when they get into the thing, they all discombobulated. So then next thing you know, they sitting there for another 10 minutes while the teacher trying to get themselves together. And mothers be talking. You can tell them any excuse you want. When they start doing this, you in trouble. Jesus. But I'm gonna finish with this. This is the key. We all once was one way, and God has brought us to where we are now. Right? We are all gifted and we are all anointed. There's no one gift better than the other gift. They are all equal under God because we're all part of his body. There's no show gift that's better than the gift that's not being shown. Matter of fact, God says the gifts that's not are shown get more glory than the gifts that are shown. Because those people who are not willing to be seen, guess what? They got their ego in check. They got their ego in check. They say, you know, let me just work behind the scenes so the ministry can go forward.
Amen.
So God can get the glory. So the brothers and sisters can be edified. It's just that simple. Unity, the body, grow together, serve one God. And next week we're going to get into the manifestations of more gifts. Read up verse 7 and see what it says about the manifestation. We all are given the gift so that we can manifest the Spirit of God. Verse 7 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Verse 7.
To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
Stop right there. We got common problems,
yep.
And we got the common good. Each person is given by the Holy Spirit a manifestation of the gift, not for themselves, for the common good, for those who have common problems. Think about that. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. Continue to bless this congregation as we walk forward in faith. Lord, we care about those who aren't saved. And Lord, we pray this is a message that convinces them that they need Jesus. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for all that you're doing and all that you will do. And Lord, let us leave this place with you on our mind and each other in our hearts. And let us receive and magnify the gift that you've given us by the power of the Holy Spirit that teaches us every day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We always want you to be encouraged, blessed, and at peace, and do what?
Walk in truth.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN Network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.